Hello, and welcome to Saturday Morning Cartoons, the weekly podcast that revisits, reviews, and ridicules some of the world's weirdest animated series. Coming to you from the alien planet of Watero, I'll be your host, Dave Trumbor. Joining me today in the fish tank, DC area improv artist and comedian Sean Sharkfin Ellis. How's it going, man?
David, I'm doing well. How about yourself?
I'm doing pretty good. We also have our very special guest and the man who suggested this week's series, Joe the Blowfish Gallo. How are you, sir?
Hey, I'm great. How are you?
Oh, man, I'm real good. I could be better after this show. Thankfully, we only had to watch about one episode of this series because that's all we could find. We'll talk about that because it was really
YouTube
tough.
YouTube was smart enough to only put
of all the
make
things,
one episode available to us.
Of all the things,
which
man.
Is the best.
They do not love this show, which is Tiger Sharks. I believe that's the first time we mentioned the show Tiger Sharks. Yeah, can't really find it out there on YouTube. And the history of it, you would think, it came from a fairly established production house, which Joe's going to tell us about the history of this show right about now. So I'll turn it over
to you. All right, so yeah. Tiger Sharks is part of the comic strip show, which was four different animated series all wrapped up in one. You have the Mini Monsters, Street Frogs, Karate Cat, the only one I cared about when I was eight, Tiger Sharks. 26 episodes from 87 to 88, mm-hmm. And it sort of fits in with some of the other Rankin-Bass work, Thundercats, Silverhawks, and they used a lot of the same voice talent. So Dolph is voiced by Larry Kenney, who was Lion-O. Walro, voiced by Earl Hammond, is Mum-Ra. And then Mako, Peter Newman, provides just a whole ensemble of characters on Silverhawks and Thundercats. As far as where are they now and what are some other interesting things they've done?
They're all dead.
No, false.
Peter Newman is Nikolai Jakov on Archer. Point of interest here, Larry Kenney was Count Chocula, as well as Sonny the Cuckoo Bird. If you're feeling cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs.
I'm going to have to add that on our Monday morning breakfast cereal segment.
We
post it on the site because they're fun to watch. So I'm going to go back and look for him. Yeah.
The interesting thing about this is that like a majority of our shows that we've watched that have been like late 80s, early 90s have gone like one season, 50 plus episodes.
Yeah.
This seems like the most reasonable show that we've watched so far where they're just one season, 26 episodes. Like that seems... By today's evening sitcom standards,
right.
It seems like somewhere between the 22 to the 26 episode range is pretty standard, and it seems like Tiger Sharks didn't go overboard in that sense.
No, terrible.
I'm going to applaud Tiger Sharks for not being like we're going to kill this terrible idea and just pummel it into the ground.
Yeah, it's weird, though, because it did follow, like Joe mentioned, in a series of Rankin-Bass animated series. So in 85, there was Thundercats. In 86, there was Silverhawks. And then 87, there was Tiger Sharks. First, I'd like to be in on the boardroom while they're just, coming up with names for things. It's basically like a Mad Lib. It's like filling out a Mad Lib. Just, throw out an adjective or a noun and then throw an animal to it at the same time. It's just like, thunder, cats. Yeah, that's good. Next. Silver
Lightning Prairie Dog.
Yeah, exactly. No, I don't know about that one. Somebody else. Yeah.
You know, just Rankin-Bass has a great track. I was about to say terrible track record.
No, they have a crazy track record.
They have an amazing track record with coming up with the lowest hanging fruit when it comes to names for their world building. I mean, just to kind of get into this show, all of this takes place on the fictitious world. It takes place between Earth and Watero. And if you're wondering how Watero is spelled, it's just water-o.
Yep. Lazy.
That's it.
That's about as lazy as Lion-O.
It's the laziest thing. Oh, and guess what?
Is it inspired? I think it's inspired, not lazy. Come on.
No, I think it's lazily inspired. I mean, and guess what? Watero is it's a fictional world that's completely covered by water.
Oh, how about
almost
that?
Almost completely covered by water. Like, oh my God, how do? And Watero has a race of fish people on it. Go figure. Called Waterians, and it's just and these tiger sharks. As we were talking about this offline,
yeah.
I mean, because of the the fact that we were restricted to watching like the one episode, like I'm sure that we weren't able to really get a lot of history. And I've actually been surprised, like there's not a ton of information about the tiger sharks, like online, just kind of like looking at different sites or even just kind of going through Tumblr. It always kind of seems like it's bundled with a lot of this like Rankin Bass productions. And so like, that's fine.
Even
like,
IMDb is very weak.
Oh, yeah, there's nothing there. It's like a year and a title and I think one voice actor and that's it. Yeah.
So, I mean, like, you know, it's kind of surprising because, you know, Thundercats and Silverhawks, like, those are standouts. Those are big. Like, there's a lot of fandom that is around both of those franchises.
Yeah.
And rightly so. I mean, they're fun. I have very fond memories of watching them. But it just seems like Tiger Shark is kind of like the middle kid. Even though it came last in this, it kind of seems like it's the middle kid syndrome where, like, it wanted to kind of measure up to its older brother and, you know, the younger sister. But, like, it just never quite got there. I'm just working through family issues on this podcast.
Yeah, all good. No, it is kind of strange, though, because...
I'm Tiger Sharks.
Sean's Tiger Sharks.
I'm Tiger Sharks.
I did see a YouTube comment on one of the episodes that we were watching. This one was actually dubbed in Greek, which did not help anyone except the Greeks.
I know, that was hilarious.
Well, I found a one-off comment saying that this show was huge in Greece. Apparently.
That's so weird.
Really?
Maybe because they're like a Mediterranean country? I don't know.
If you know Greece for anything, you know that their love of underwater
bankruptcy
is
love of bankruptcy.
Love of poor economic exchange. Like that, but these tiger sharks are just sort of like this team of salvagers.
Yeah.
One of the members has created this device. That is just, again, here we go with just Rankin Bass, wonderful names. It's called the fish tank.
Yep.
And I'm sorry, Joe or Dave, what did the fish tank look like?
Okay, I'll give it to Joe, yeah.
Sauna.
It's a big old hot tub.
Jump in and it bubbles up and lasers shoot around.
For no reason.
That's how I couldn't recall when I described this show to people. I always just said they'd like jump in a giant sauna.
Yeah, when Joe was like talking, he's like, "Oh, there's this show. I can't remember the name of it." He's like, "But there's a bunch of people that jump into a hot tub together, and then they turn into animals." I'm like, "I don't think that's a show for kids.
It's totally a show.
That's not for kids." It turns out it was.
It's like if you went to like if in the 80s, it's like if you went to like a Night Ranger concert and it was in an aquarium. Like, that's what the fish tank was.
Yeah.
Just, like, a lot of laser light show. Like, it's just a lot of just, like,
a lot of, like, unisex and jumpsuits and, yeah.
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 I mean, it's crazy. But these people, they get into these humans. Let me preface this, because there are multiple races that are in the show.
Yes.
These humans from Earth get into this fish tank, and it transforms them into whatever their marine form would be, which, again,
oh, well, how would you, how would you make that?
Oh, my God. Dave, how would you figure out what the translation
was? Yeah, how do you know which character, which animal you're
I think the only proper way to do it would be, like, animorphs, you know? Like, they got a sea creature, and then they can absorb its DNA and transform into it.
Or, like Sean said, based on lazy-ass naming schemes. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Names.
Yeah,
oh, that's awesome.
Straight
names.
Up names.
Oh, that's terrible.
No DNA code.
If I was to introduce myself, Dave, and I was to say, my name is Mako, what do you think I would turn into
when I get into
the fish tank?
I'm going to go shark.
Oh, my God. You are 100% correct.
Yeah.
Because this show is...
I love the reverse engineering of this show, though, because they're just like, we need a shark, a dolphin, an octopus. What are we going to name these idiots? How about Mako, Dolph? And Octavia. How's that sound? Yep, perfect. Nailed it. No last names.
But, I had a moment of enlightenment earlier, though, because I thought that one of their names didn't fit at all.
This was pretty good.
The horse character is Bronk, and I was like, what the heck is up with that? But
there you go.
Bronk turns into a seahorse.
Yeah.
And
like
a sea
bronco.
So like a bronco.
Yeah.
Bronco.
So,
that was the one intern.
I thought that
room.
Was just like the one of these things is not like the other. But
yeah, this is the it could have been the one that like breaks the mold that everybody's just like, oh my God, you know, applaud.
Exactly. The
back.
One
like,
a little bit of
coming up with one
the one
original,
character.
Nope, absolutely not.
Well, let's talk about the other characters, though, because we've got this whole Tiger Sharks team. Do you want to talk about the characters first, or do you want to talk about their name, Tiger Sharks? Sean, what would you like to do? Because I know you were puzzling over this.
Let's talk about the characters. I mean, because we've already started to talk about Mako.
Yeah.
And obviously he turns into a Mako shark.
Yeah, how about that?
And he's sort of like the mission leader
yeah.
for a lot of the stuff that they do.
He's like the team supervisor, basically, yeah. and then just becomes a leader. Yeah.
He's the team middle manager.
Right. You're right, exactly.
He turns into this cool ass Mako shark. They have the guy who creates the fish tank is named Walro, mm-hmm. and surprise, surprise, he turns into a walrus.
Yeah. Now therein lies the first kind of question mark that raised when I was watching this. So Walro is kind of like he's the old portly mustachioed gentleman with the kind of this gravelly voice.
He's the paternal figure.
Yes, he's very much the paternal figure. Joe, you had an interesting point with the voice cast. So Walro is voiced by Earl Hammond, who also happened to voice...
Mum-Ra, exactly. as I mentioned.
I thought that was pretty interesting.
But he's also, it's funny, because he keeps doing, like, these loud, like, whoa, kind of things. And it sounds like a walrus Santa Claus.
It's very much a walrus Santa Claus.
He plays Santa Claus.
Oh, it's so weird.
Rankin Bass, Life and Adventures of Santa Claus.
It all makes sense. He's a mummy walrus Santa Claus. Enjoy that image, kids.
You might not know this.
Yeah.
He was TV's Buck Rogers.
What? Get out of here.
Yes. Earl Hammond. I'm completely serious.
Man, the voice cast and the history of the show is actually way more interesting than the show itself, because there's a lot of Rankin Bass history to comb through.
The show itself is garbage.
It's pretty bad.
It's garbage that I wouldn't even have the tiger sharks salvage.
We talk about some weird and kind of sometimes worthless shows, but we talk about them in like a loving manner for the most part. Like we say, like, all right, they tried this thing, it was terrible, but we enjoyed it. This, honestly, this one was just like, ugh. Well, we'll get to it, I guess.
There was just so much crazy. I mean, like,
nothing connected. There was no logic to it.
And why would
any
it?
Even like cartoon logic? You know,
yeah.
If you're gonna,
and I mean, like a lot of it. Oh, so I think the thing that killed me about Walro, at one point, you know, they have this like conversation, and like the tiger sharks are having this conversation,
right.
and God, this is killing me. The one character Lorca, who's like their mechanic, is up on Watero, and he's trying to grab some salvage. Let's just get into the. We'll fill in the characters later because they're trash.
Fine with
and
me.
Nobody cares about them.
Fine with me.
All right. And so, the Lorca gets captured, the tiger sharks are like, oh my god, we got to go save them. And they I should also mention they have this ship that's called the Sark.
Yeah.
S-A-R-K.
Yeah.
And so this is like a spaceship that allows them to travel back and forth between Earth.
But it's got this AI that's kind of like Tony Stark's Jarvis.
Yes.
Very much like Jarvis.
Very much like Jarvis. And so they go through this like thing where they're like, oh my God, they're like, Lorca's in trouble. They're like, we need to get to Watero. And so they tell Stark, they're just like, Stark, we need an immediate blast off.
As fast as you can.
He goes, blast off in 4 minutes and 12 seconds. And I was like, oh my God, Lorca's going to die.
Yeah, he's fucking dead.
That happened within like 2 minutes of the show starting, and I was like, "Oh yes, this is going to be the first death of the show. Like first death. Like I'm pumped."
But
like,
here's the even better part, though. What do the tiger sharks do when Sark answers in that manner? What did they take this as the opportunity to do now that they have to wait 4.5 minutes to go? Yeah,
Walro takes this time to just be like that's the perfect amount of time to show you guys
exactly.
the fish tank.
Right.
Like, I'm like, oh my God.
Well, and Stark it brings it, so he's been working on the fish tank in secret for years.
This giant,
guess,
this enormous
built
hot
into
tub.
The ship. Like, have they all just not wandered back to the back half of the ship ever?
Yeah. Where's all this power being drained to?
Did anyone ever ask him, hey, what's this giant sauna thing you've been building?
Don't worry about it. It's just a little pet project of mine. Yeah.
But the best part is that they get back to the fish tank, and this is the big reveal that like they're able to transform from humans into this like fish hybrid.
While Lorca is being tortured on an alien planet. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. So while they're killing 4 minutes and 12 seconds.
Right.
Which is an awfully specific amount.
Very specific,
of
time. Yeah.
I loved it. It was so crazy. So they're getting ready to like blast off and Walro gets in and he turns into the walrus.
Yep.
And everybody's just like, oh my God. They're like, he's a walrus.
Why? And what was his reasoning behind this? What did he want to accomplish this for?
Oh, so he wanted to be able to breathe underwater.
Okay.
without like bulky gear. He wanted to be able to like continue to like do salvage work that they've been doing underwater without having the bulky gear.
So his choice was walrus.
And so, so just straight up, instead of saying like, hey, you know what? I'll make like a more compact, like,
right,
first and second stage, like diving.
I'll make a tinier scuba suit.
Totally manipulate your DNA. Like,
in this giant fucking hot totally tub. Right.
So I'm going to make this hot tub time machine, turn you guys into monsters, and then we'll just get in the water.
And then we'll be the good guys, yeah.
So the best part is that, like, because, like, at this point in time, like, you're being introduced to all this stuff for, like, the first time ever.
Ever.
And, like, I would
say... It's very tight exposition.
Yeah, I mean, you can get it all done in 4 minutes and 12 seconds, so...
And you would... Right. You would think that you'd just be like, oh, my God, like, how does this amazing technology work? Well, Walro just looks at everybody and just goes, hold your questions. And everybody's just like, oh, yeah, I don't give a shit.
No, don't care. Just going to go swimming.
You figure that the trip from, Earth to Watero probably took, at least weeks or months. So
at which point they found Lorca just like barely clinging to life, his skeletal remains.
Well, even if they traveled, at light speed, by the time they don't age at all, but Lorca's been dead and buried.
He's a little dusty at this point. But surprisingly, Lorca's fine, but we'll get to that in a little bit. Joe, I believe I know who your favorite character of the Tiger Sharks is. But why don't you go ahead and let the people know who that is. If I'm wrong, I'll tell you.
I believe you must be talking about Octavia.
Oh, yeah, buddy. Yeah. I nailed it.
The token female of the group. Actually, well, there's another token female.
Yeah, but she's kind of like the older, quote-unquote, female of the group. Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, really?
Well, I mean, compared to Angel.
She transforms into?
Oh, Octavia's the older one. Yeah, sorry. Yeah. Octavia is Chitara.
Chitara. Let's just throw that out there.
She's 100%
Chitara. Yeah, she's exactly
Chitara. Yeah. Not voiced, though. I want to know what happened there, if there was some kind of disagreement.
I don't know. Might have been a cat fight.
Fatal accident.
Oh. Yeah, I did it.
Well done.
So anyway, Octavia. Yeah, what do you think she turns into with a name like Octavia?
She turns into coral. Yeah, no.
She just turns into coral.
She turns into seaweed.
She's just a brine shrimp floating on a current. Now, very much like Dr. Otto Octavius, she turns into sort of an octopus. But here's the catch, kids. Yeah. Not really so much. Basically, her hair turns into an octopus, and that's about it.
Yeah, her hair becomes tentacles, and that's it.
Does she, like, crap out ink or anything? Does she spit ink?
You're stirring a 20-year-old memory. I think she does have some kind of inking power.
I figured as much. Where that comes from is going to be
it doesn't
real
come up in these episodes
curious.
You saw, but...
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The censors probably had a good time with that one.
I'm going to be honest.
Let's go.
Octavia and Angel were both attractive.
Oh,
poorly
drawn,
rare, like,
anime.
Very, very crude female approximations.
Shitty names. I was surprised. Like, because we mentioned, like, they're underwater salvage divers, and so they're all wearing, like, skin tight,
like wetsuits.
Wetsuits and stuff like that. Like,
Even Walro. Like, you can see every roll of that fat man's body. Delightful.
Well, I'd like to tell you what my favorite character
is. Yeah, please do.
Which comes a little bit later in the first episode. Mm-hmm. It is their pet basset hound.
I knew it. If you've seen Sean's Tumblr page full of pugs and pizza, you knew that it had to be
dogs.
A puppy. Yeah,
it's all dogs and pizza. And so I don't remember seeing initially that they had a dog. And then all of a sudden,
this
dog appears and just, like, jumps into the hot tub. And I was just like, holy shit. Is this going to turn into, like, a dogfish? And then he did. And I just, like, I squealed with excitement. I was like, oh, my God. I was like, I want one of these so bad. I was like, I'll take both. Like, either or. I was like, this thing is so fucking cute.
It was pretty cute. And he actually assists in some battling, too. So that was good. I don't know what my favorite – it's really tough to have a favorite of something you hate. So – I'm probably going to have to go with some of the villains. I'm going to go Dragonstein, because what the fuck?
Dragonstein is the best.
Well, now's a great time to talk about the
Villains. I actually
really
like the concept of Dragonstein.
And it's so bizarre. It comes out of nowhere. You're thinking like, okay, we got humans that turn into sea creatures. That's fine. I can deal with that. They're probably going to face off against some weird kind of like villainous sea creatures, which is true to an extent. However, the villainous sea creatures are not the only villains on this alien planet. But first,
right. There's two teams.
Yeah, let's talk about the first team first. Let's talk about
let's frame sort of the, because this happens very, very early.
You were introduced immediately to the villains.
Yes,
the villains.
You are.
It is the first frame. Yeah,
you're like right away. You meet
T-Ray.
You meet T-Ray and you meet Walleye.
Yep.
And so they are like in a ship and they are heading to Watero. And there's like a super quick one-line dialogue where it's just like, our planet has run out of water. We're going to make Watero our new home planet. And you're just like, okay, makes sense.
Got
it. On board.
Right.
Let's get with it. Here's the thing. Like, I was just like, okay, I'm sitting there with like a bingo scorecard for this show. I'm just like, terrible names. Check. Great intro. Check. Like, exposition done in one line of dialogue, nothing more. Check. And so the thing that was killing me, though, is they get to Watero and they see what looks to be like the only piece of land that's around. And it's just like these like kind of like giant icebergs. And like Walleye, who, you know, I mean, his name's Walleye, so he has to have amazing vision anyway.
Right.
He just spies people frozen in the ice. And
right.
T-Ray's instruction as the leader is just like blast them.
Yep.
Like just
hit him with the heat ray.
Just to make sure. And like, and what does it do?
It frees Dragonstein, who immediately comes to life and blasts the ship with like this crazy stream of fire, which causes the this manta ray shaped ship to just kind of like crash land under the water. So it just crashes into the water. So that is your introduction to this crazy show. We didn't even get to the tiger sharks yet. You didn't even get to the hot tub fish tank time machine. I mean, that is your intro. So you're just like, what the fuck is happening right now? And it just
and
gets
like,
weirder
this, like,
from there.
And,
yeah.
and Dave nailed it. Because, like, so Dragonstein, like, thaws, and so does the other main villain that is opposite of T-Ray,
right.
Which is Captain Bizarrely. If you're just like, wait, Sean, I want to pause for 1 second and just ask, are you making these names up?
Sure
no,
ain't.
I am 100% not. These are terrible names for this terrible show.
We're not the smartest people on Earth, but God, give us some credit because these are bad.
So, Captain Bizarrely, I want to sum him up in one line, like all of the exposition that's in this show,
okay.
And just say he's a pirate who's afraid of water.
on a water world, which he's trying to dominate.
Water-based planet.
So there it is, kids.
That's it. Just, you know, if that scores a bingo for your Rankin Bass bingo card, you're welcome.
Collect your winnings. Come on up to the table.
Turn this podcast off.
No, you win more podcasts in the future. Come on up to the table and collect your prize. Joe, I know we were talking about this one offline, but at some point, and it doesn't take very long, but the villains meet up in a very interesting sort of way. So T-Ray and Bizarrely never met each other before. We should probably talk about how they team up. Because it's really interesting.
They come to you know, an understanding of common principles very quickly.
Yeah.
I believe the exchange goes like this.
Mm-hmm.
We're both on the same side. We have the same cause. And then the response is something like,
the response is, what cause is that?
Yeah.
And the answer is, why, evil, of course.
I thought they both share an evil laugh. And it's the weirdest damn thing. It's just like,
all right,
we're just going for it. That's fine. Let's do it. So these two guys team up. So it's the Mantanas, all right? Not to be confused with Anchorman's Channel 4 News team's Brian Fantana. So Mantanas.
Or Hannah Montana.
Or Hannah Montana. None of the above, just the Mantanas. And Captain Bizarrely, he eventually like thaws out more of his old pirate crew. But we don't
get a proper introduction.
Yeah, we didn't get to see him.
Part.
We didn't get to see him.
Well, I mean, episodes that are available.
Right.
Right. I mean, like, you
I'm
can,
left
you
with
can
a lot
read,
of questions there.
Well, yeah. There's lots of questions.
You can read
to be asked.
What a couple of their names are, like, on Wikipedia. But really, the only one that you need to know is this Dragonstein. Dragonstein rules. Yeah.
Dragonstein is so good. I just want Dragonstein to just murder everybody on this planet and just rule by himself. So, Dragonstein, you may have pieced together. Is a dragon Frankenstein creature. He doesn't talk, as far as I know, at least in the first episode. He basically just, anytime someone says something or moves in a way that he does not approve of, he just blasts them with fire, and I love it. Dragonstein is the best. He's the only character.
Also, these tiny, tiny little wings that don't seem like they'd be capable of allowing him to fly.
And anything, and he wouldn't but think that
later
he could,
on in episode two, he fly.
Oh, does he fly?
There's a lot of physics problems in this.
Yeah, he apparently can swim no problem. Dragonstein is perfectly fine swimming around with stubby little arms. This massive tank.
Makes no sense. Yeah.
He dives right in after
T-Rex.
Yeah, it makes zero sense. It doesn't make any sense at all. Dragonstein, he should just sink like a fucking stone to the core of this planet. It's so good, though. I love Dragonstein. That's the only thing that I look forward to. Yeah.
Dave, for my Dragonstein-based religion, that every planet has a Dragonstein in the middle of the planet, and that's what keeps everything together.
That's where you're ultimately trying to get to after you shuffle off this mortal coil. Yeah.
You're always trying to get to the middle of the planet to get Dragonstein.
To be one with Dragonstein. Yeah.
Be one with Dragonstein.
I like it. You can join the Church of Dragonstein at SaturdayMorningCartoons.com. But moving on from there, I mean, so it was really tough to try to keep the quote-unquote plot of this episode together because it's so windy and illogical and, like, so bizarrely in Dragonstein get thawed out, they immediately have this crazy lair that I guess they used to inhabit back in the day.
Well, and that's the thing. They've been frozen for potentially thousands of years.
Yeah, long time.
Because they weren't frozen recently. It was by the ancestors. You know, it's implied ancient history that the ancestors of the current Watarians froze them. So
I think
that their lair is still there.
Yeah, and the current Watarians are very diminutive, very benevolent, peace-loving people. And Joe, how did their ancestors defeat Captain Bizarrely and Dragonstein again?
Well, that's the thing. They live in peace and safety, and they seem very, holier than thou about it. Mm-hmm. But the reason is because their ancestors murdered and froze all their enemies.
Exactly. Just murdered and entombed their enemies forever.
It's easy to be peaceful once you've won.
Yeah. Once you're the only one. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Guys, we're victorious, so like we can all just agree just to be like chill right now.
Yeah,
right?
So let's like chill or get frozen. Like that's your choice pretty much.
Here's the thing that blows my mind is that like they froze these people. Why didn't they killed all these other people? Why didn't they just kill the people they froze?
Because then they couldn't come back thousands of years later to assist T-Ray in conquering the tiger sharks.
Here's the thing. I don't understand biology.
Neither does Rankin Bass. So go ahead.
So how are you frozen in ice on a water-based planet for all of those years, and when you're defrosted, you're like immediately, like, I don't know. If I wake up, here's the thing.
Right.
I equate getting frozen to like taking like a super long nap.
Yeah, exactly.
All right.
Encino Man style.
Yes. I take a super long nap. The first thing I want to do is eat, like not commit heinous evil acts.
Not resume your old lair under the ocean.
I really need a bagel and an egg sandwich. Like I'm starving, guys. Come on, that's like me waking up every morning.
See, here's like, why I love Dragonstein though, because he wakes up after thousands of years in entombed in ice and just blasts things with fire. And that's why I love it.
Not a single bit of curiosity.
No, doesn't
broken
give a shit.
Out, immediately
has not changed in a thousand years. Just blasted everything with fire. Dragonstein for life.
Here's the thing. Yeah. You have to realize that in that instance, that even though he's been frozen for as long as he has, Dragonstein has remained true to himself.
No, he is. he's very true to himself.
I'm proud of him.
He's a confident creature. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's got no self-esteem issues, this Dragonstein.
All right. Boy. I almost want to sum up this trashy first episode.
Well, how do you want to sum it?
Well, I was just going to say, like, so what happens is you find out that, like, there's 2 tons of this explosive device called X-400, which is evidently so powerful that if it got on Earth, it would have the power to knock the Earth out of orbit.
Sure.
It'd have the ability to knock a planet out of orbit.
Right.
Okay? 2 tons of this X-400. All right? And these.
So, real quick though, what do they want to do with it? They want to get it safely back to Earth.
Yeah, they
want let's please return this to Earth, where it can do the most damage. Yeah.
Yeah, they flat out say it could knock a planet out of orbit, and they're like, "Well, just bring it back to Earth."
Yeah, that'll be fine.
Just bring it back to Earth.
Don't dump it into the sun or anything. God. Just bring it directly back to Earth. These guys are not real bright. I mean, they are salvage operators, you know. I mean, sometimes I've seen them described as, like, scientists.
These guys aren't professional superheroes. No. They're just a salvage crew.
No. Who can somehow turn themselves into animals. And, yeah, where the hell did that name come from? Nobody's a tiger shark.
Okay, so Mako's the closest thing. That was my question. Yeah. That was my question, okay? What is a tiger shark?
I think it's like there's great whites and there's hammerheads and there's
species.
No, but I mean, like, in the context of this show.
Okay,
like,
so not biologically on Earth.
I've already established I know.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
So, like, in the context of this show, like, what is a tiger shark?
Is it just their team?
It's a team name. It's like a team of roughnecks.
It's a short way of saying us guys.
Yeah, it's like the Dallas Cowboys, you know, the Harlem Globetrotters, Watero Tiger Sharks.
I mean, like, thinking about this, like, a little bit more, is it just, like, if you go in for, I think about this in the sense of, like, if you went in for an interview to become a tiger shark.
Okay.
Would they just be like, they'd be like, oh, hey, thanks for coming in. Like, we're really glad that you're here. We noticed that you have salvage experience. Check. Great. That sounds good.
Yeah. It's a plus.
It's a plus. you have a real shitty name.
Aquatic theme name.
aquatic theme first name.
Right.
No last name whatsoever.
No, that doesn't raise any red flags. No, that's fine.
We're on board.
That's good. Check that out. That's fine. Like,
and they're like, would you like to feel that you can do the right thing despite the fact that you have really no stakes in what's going on whatsoever? Like, do you feel that you could stand up and become a superhero if the situation or the circumstances presented themselves as such where we would call upon you to do that?
I'm going to say trick question. I'm going to say if you answer yes to that question, you are automatically red flagged for being a crazy person.
That is true.
Yeah. You got to... This is not a responsibility to be given lightly, even though all these jackasses treat it as such.
It's just kind of like freaking dog, man.
Yeah, they do lots of dogs. Yeah, jump in there. Go ahead, dog. Become a member. But I think it's like Starship Troopers Roughnecks, you know? Like, I think it's like a team name, kind of like this camaraderie kind of thing. They just have, like, this name that they assign themselves, and they're like, yeah, we're the Tiger Sharks. Doesn't matter. There's never a Tiger Shark in the show. They are not... fish creatures to begin with. They're just tiger sharks because they're like scuba divers. But the thing is, you can posit that, but it's never actually explained anywhere in the show itself, as far as I know. They didn't go to scuba diving school and, like, form a team. I have no idea.
Right. I mean, like, the name Tiger Sharks is pretty rad.
Yeah,
like, if you were hanging out with, like, a gang and you were, like, if we started calling, like, if Joe, Baron, and Dave and I, if we just all start calling ourselves, like, the Tiger Sharks, like, yeah. That's a pretty cool name.
It's like motorcycle gang or like a jet ski.
Exactly.
Probably a jet ski gang.
Yeah.
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 You guys want to start a jet ski gang called the Tiger Sharks?
Yeah, can we have a jet ski gang? Oh, my
totally.
God. I want this so bad.
We definitely can.
I really want a jet ski gang. It just seems so fun. We just ride around with, like,
I wish we were obnoxiously independently wealthy so we could do a series of YouTube shorts like Sons of Anarchy, but on jet skis. That'd be amazing.
We just bully
rich people on yachts and just steal from them. I'm totally, not to make another pun, but I'm on board with this.
That needs a Kickstarter.
That was good.
Heck yeah. But, okay, so we got the Tiger Sharks, we got the teams, we got the villains, you got the X-400. How does this all wrap up? Because honestly, like, I was still left with many, many questions at the end of this first episode. How does this all wrap up?
Joe, how does this wrap up?
Does anyone know?
So, I think they.
Well, we still got Lorca and
Shane. Tiger Sharks stay to fight the Mantanas, and the Mantanas stay to fight the Tiger Sharks, and it just becomes this, you know, we're stuck here fighting kind of thing.
Oh, I wasn't looking for, like, an existential answer. I was just like, what the fuck happened to Lorca? Like,
if
you want to get philosophical with it, that's
eventually they get him back.
He did.
We get introduced to the annoying characters on the show. Harper and Weak Fish, who are the Snarf, Jar Jar Binks.
Yeah, it's as if Snarf and Jar Jar Binks were friends and were bad guys.
And there were two of them.
Yeah, yeah.
Which means they can talk to each other. So there are whole scenes where they're just talking to each other.
And they're really whiny off toys. And you've also got like kind of the Wile E. Kit, Wile E. Cat pairing of Bronk and Angel. And they're kind of, they're just like the kids. They're like off doing recon and they kind of get in trouble and they're like, they're on like those sun sail kind of things, like the parasails out there.
Well, the other thing though, and this is important to note, is that the Mantanas is a pretty rough group of, you know, T-Ray and Walleye, Shat, Dredge. We've got, you know, some serious badasses that we got to worry about. And then fully one third of the team is Carper and Weaver.
Who are just worthless.
Oh boy, I don't like this.
Like Carper and Weefish, it's like the friend that you ask to do something. They're like, oh, I don't know. That could be dangerous.
It's basically.
I gotta get home.
My asthma's gonna cause a problem.
It's basically like Woody Allen as a sea creature.
And at home.
It's just kind of like a very nervous Woody Allen as a sea creature, or like what was his name, Filbert from Rocko's Modern Life? Was that the turtle?
Yeah,
is it Filbert. It's very much like Filbert. It is very much like Filbert, because it's just kind of that, like...
Wash your hands, turn the page.
Wash your hands, turn the page. I'm nauseous. Yeah. It's very much... Yeah, very much like...
That's 100% Carver and
I don't know why. Like, why are they there?
In the context of, like, Rocko's Modern Life and, like, anything else, like, it's one character. Right. In this, it's two characters that just get a shit ton of screen time. And it's just them bitching about stuff. And, they're like, it's just at one point I was just like... This show is just full of complainers.
Look, I was
I was hoping, so at one point,
Carper and Weakfish, like, they're on this, like, undersea, this underwater motorcycle with a chainsaw blade attached to the front of it for unknown reasons, called, like, a Sawbill?
Sawbill.
So they're riding together at roughly... They're riding at roughly, like, 5 miles an hour, just coasting along. Supposed to be doing something, but they're just sticking around. And they're just riding and complaining to each other and just like, meh, moaning into the water. And then they just get completely taken by surprise by, I think, is it Bronk and Angel at this point? Or is it like Mako and Dolph? I can't remember who it was.
I thought it was Mako and Dolph.
I think it was.
It's Mako and Dolph.
And I thought...
And the crazy thing is they don't know they're Mantanas. They're just assaulting these two random guys.
Random fish people on a motorbike,
But do you remember how they assaulted them?
Well, this is what I was hoping. I was like, thank God someone is going to kill these two.
This is the best part.
Don't they just swim up behind them, put them in like choke holds, and drag them off the bike? I thought they were going to drag them to their death, to be honest with you. I thought they were just going to eliminate them.
Dark show.
Yeah. Didn't they put... It looks like they put like a cloth over one of their faces, like over one of their mouths. I was like, oh my God, are they...
Did they use like ether to knock them out, or
are they chloroforming
them underwater?
Underwater, yeah.
Are they underwater? Because like, I'm pretty sure. Again, I don't know a lot about bio, and let's translate this to chemistry.
Sure.
I also don't know a lot about water in general, other than showering all the time. Yeah. But like, I'm pretty sure that like, if you have one liquid and you put it in another liquid, it just dilutes both.
Dilution's like, the solution,
now,
brother.
Liquid,
correct.
It's just It like, oh my God, like I'm just sitting there, I'm just like, holy shit, they just fucking chloroformed everything in that small area of the ocean.
Maybe it was like a sponge full of air, and they just like suffocated them.
They choked them out
through their gills. I don't know. I'll tell you what though, speaking of, so they do a lot of this interplay between like humans that are obviously able to breathe air, sea creatures that can only breathe water. Some tiger sharks that are sea creatures but still have to breathe air. That was kind of an oversight. Like, I don't know.
Right.
Exactly. Yeah. So that was kind of stupid. However, they do in the plot kind of play back and forth on this. And, like, if you're stuck underwater and you happen to turn...
This is an educational show.
Oh, yeah. It's got the NEA stamp of approval. So, like, they do play with the dangers of it. So if you're, like, a human and you're underwater and you're not a sea creature yet... and you lose your air or something, you got to go up and, like, surface for air. That's fine. If you're a fish creature and you're out of water, then it's dangerous because there's air and you can't breathe. So at one point, Angel warns the guys about going into Captain Bizarrely's lair, and this is probably my top favorite line of everything. We have some good ones, but of everything. She goes, "Careful, there's a dragon and a room full of air." I fucking lost it at that point. I was like, a room full of air? That's a hazard you have to watch out for? Jesus Christ. So, dragon.
Favorite bad line?
Oh, my God.
There's some good ones. I mean,
I think I
you could pull it from the intro. Honestly.
No, my favorite is from the beginning.
Yeah.
The first introduction that you have to the tiger sharks is Dolph walking down a pier towards the Sark.
Yes.
And the Sark evidently has like some biometric scanner. Right.
Like a security device.
It prompts Dolph to identify himself for security purposes, you know, to let him in. And he just goes, like, and Dolph has, like, a weird Irish accent.
It's, like, kind of Scottish, kind of something in between. And his name's Dolph, of all things. I don't know.
There's some weird cultural appropriation in this show that they just take liberties with. But 87 was evidently totally cool with doing it.
Who knows?
But it's just, like, it's at some point, like, he just, like, so Dolph just goes, he goes, I'm Big Julie from Jupiter,
yep.
And begins to dance around.
He does a jig.
Just walks through the scan, like just walks through the scanner, and like, and then has to re-identify himself as Dolph, a member of the Tiger Sharks. And then they give him Walro gives him shit about it. And I was just like, it was one of those things where I was just like, oh my god, this show is full of dumb dumb goofballs.
Just a bunch of drunks. I think they were just drunk in the recording booth, and they were just like, yeah, whatever, we'll fix it later.
But he does this, like, I'm Big Julie from Jupiter. And, like, the Sark's like, burr, burr, burr. Like,
it doesn't blast him, though. It just kind of, like tickles him with lasers and then just blasts
yeah,
in
just
his ear.
Yeah, tickles him with lasers.
Just tickles him.
He doesn't want to be tickled with lasers.
I do. Joe, did you have a favorite line from this show?
My favorite is, you know, they're in the middle of a fight.
Yeah.
There are these eel torpedoes
yes.
flying. And Walro says to Dolph, look out in back of you.
Not behind you, because we, at this point in evolution, we have evolved to the point of using terrible grammar.
Back of you.
Yeah. I can't believe he didn't be like, oh, you know, on your dorsal part of your body
yeah.
now.
Check your dorsal side. Yeah, like anything.
That would have been good, yeah, because they use a lot of water or nautically themed puns and
yeah,
stuff.
Just poorly, though. So poorly.
Well,
another
yeah,
one of my favorites might have been Captain Bizarrely, though, because they do take these moments where they basically just, like, crash through this fourth wall. So there's a point where it's maybe right before the end of the first episode where things have, like, gone crazy, and you're trying to, like, keep it all together, like, what the hell is going on? Captain Bizarrely, he's, like, left, like T-Ray and Walleye go back, and they go to fight the Tiger Sharks or whatever. Captain Bizarrely's left by himself, and he basically looks at the camera and goes, this is all too bizarre, and then they just cut away
yep.
from him. I'm like, you are not even now, trying to mask it.
Yeah. Dave, now you had a perfect assertion about Bizarrely
right.
and what he looks like. Please share.
Yeah, so he's hard to describe unless you know this character that I'm about to talk about. So he looks like he was modeled after, I believe it's a Bela Lugosi character from, like, the Universal Monsters movies, the classic monster movies, of, like, this, the black and white kind of, like, I think he was, like, a phantom. It wasn't Frankenstein or Mummy, obviously, but it was, like, the Phantom. So he's got, like, these heavy-lidded eyes, these deep, kind of sunken eyes with huge, heavy bags under his eyes. And he's just, all his skin is kind of drawn down, and he looks like he's kind of sagging. And he's got this kind of, like, purplish hue to him. But then put that in Captain Crunch's outfit, and that's basically what Captain Bizarrely looks like.
Yeah, it's like Bela Lugosi, because I think it's like a Phantom from like Phantom of the Opera.
I think that's what it was. Yeah,
I think I'm pretty sure that's what it was.
And it's so weird because that's where they drew. There's just so many different things coming in from different angles on this show, because there was very much like the Thundercats and Silverhawks influence of how they structured the show and how they build the teams and who's going to have what quirks and personalities and all that. And that, you know, that makes sense. It worked well twice before, so why change that? And then you just interject these weird things like Captain Bizarrely and Dragonstein and just all this craziness. And honestly, like, maybe it would have sorted itself out after a few more episodes, but we didn't get a chance to watch any because you just can't find them. Now, I know Joe remembers some more from his childhood. So, Joe, does this trigger any, like, memories or any scenes or any weirdness?
The only thing that I can actually remember from, you know, 1987 on this show, I remember the sauna and the sea creatures aspect of things. I remember, we don't see it in this episode, but Walleye, I don't know if it's a throwaway thing in just one episode
yeah.
or if he has this power consistently throughout the series, but he has these giant googly eyes
right.
and he can hypnotize you. And he has this weird little like rhyme that he says while he's hypnotizing you, with his googly eyes. And it, I think, ends with something like, your mind will boggle. You know, it's like it rhymes with something, and it ends the rhyme on boggle. And then there's another episode, you know, they in the exposition for the fish tank, they talk about how if they don't get back to the fish tank, they'll be trapped as fish forever.
Right.
And I kind of think there's a time limit that they didn't make explicit in this episode. But there's an episode later where Dolph, I think it was Dolph, ends up getting some kind of amnesia, and he thinks he's just a normal dolphin. So he's like swimming around with the dolphins, and he doesn't know he's actually a man.
It's Big Julie from Jupiter.
He might trap that way forever.
It's so weird. I don't know. I almost want
to. That's all I remember, though. It's a weird show.
I morbidly want to seek out more episodes of this just to see what else they did. Now, I think, like you said, there's only like 26, so it's not like there's a lot to sort through. Right?
Right.
Right.
And this one, I think, was eventually picked up by Warner Brothers Animation. I think the whole comic strip series was picked up. And they just haven't released
anything. Shoot them a petition, man.
Yeah, there's one out there, apparently, according to the Wikipedia page. So if you guys are interested, we can definitely put a link to that on our site, and we'll get literally tens more signatures. We did
tens
not
of talk 20s.
Tens and 20s. Yeah, buddy. Jackson's and 20s. Jackson's and Hamilton's? Who the hell's on the 10?
Ooh.
Andrew.
Andrew? Just Andrew.
Yeah.
Like Dolph. Yeah. Andrew. Anyway, we did not talk about the intro or the theme, which we normally talk about on this one.
Yes.
So before we head out here, I'd like to... I mean, Sean, are you feeling up to a dramatic reading of this one?
Oh, my God. I almost kind of want to sing it. I
mean,
thing.
Feel free.
You can sing it.
I love this theme song.
Yeah? It's quite it's jazzy.
Alexander Hamilton's on the 10.
Oh, okay. So not Andrew anything.
No.
Okay.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
Dropping Hamilton's.
I don't understand. I don't understand water... chemistry, biology, or currency.
It's all good. What you do understand is intros and theme music, so.
Yes. So, like, we had to listen to this a couple times to be able to get this out. It's the shortest intro ever, but I love it. It just says, like, it says, who's got a tiger by the tail? Hold on, tiger sharks. Who's got a spaceship with a sail? Hold on, tiger sharks.
Beautifully
and that's
done.
The entire theme song.
Beautifully
but like
done.
It's just
there's a couple more tiger sharks they throw in.
Yeah, because it's like real jazzy and like upbeat and a lot of fun. It's just like bah, bah, a lot of like horn
upbeat.
Section. Yeah.
So it's sort of it kind of goes like it just goes like, who's got a tiger by the tail? Hold on, tiger sharks.
Ba-da-p.
Like
you're good, man. That was awesome.
Yeah, that was really good.
Who's got a spaceship with a sail? Hold on, tiger sharks.
Ba-da-p.
Tiger sharks.
Ba-da-p.
I think it took them as long to record it as it just took us to do it. Right.
Yeah, that was it. Did first pass.
First take.
Yep, we're good. Nailed it.
There's like one part where it's like, hold on.
Ship it. No, ship it.
Tiger sharks.
Yeah.
And that's it.
And they use like, this, like weird like... horn medley, they're like ba-ba-da-da-ba-ba-da-ba throughout the entire episode.
Kenny G version plays every once in a while.
Yeah, just for no reason.
It gets sexy. It gets as a wipe in between scenes. It gets sexy like our cops wipe.
The cops.
God, cops.
So good. I don't know. We gotta put together the best wipes in cartoons. Tiger Sharks is pretty good. Yeah. They've got this weird kind of like, it looks like, oh man, what is it? Is it Reef? Is it like the Reef brand of clothing and stuff? That's, I think it's like the Reef brand of clothing or whatever. It's just got that like, that symbol. I don't know, but they have
the
symbol
of like
Tiger
the wave,
Sharks.
Of the wave.
Yeah, it's like a wave and kind of like an arc over, and that's their wipe. So like that, Brave Star, Cops, those are my top favorites. But speaking of top favorites, are we going to recommend Tiger Sharks to the listeners in listener land?
You know what? I'm going to say yes.
What in the hell? You make no sense to me sometimes.
No, I know. I'd say watch this just because it is so batshit insane. That like there are moments where like I had to pause this episode so many times to just be like, oh my God, I have no idea what I'm watching. And like I think and I'd really just watch it for two characters. Watch it for Gup. Yeah. Gup is an awesome bassinet. Yeah. I love Gup. And then also watch this for Dragonstein. Yeah,
exactly.
Dragonstein defies logic and is just has no lines other than to just like randomly just
belch fire
on everything. But he is a rad character. I loved anytime Dragonstein was on the screen. I was just like, yes, something's gonna burn. Like, I thought it was an interesting show. I also think it's really interesting that like you can only find one episode.
Yeah, like, that's really strange. I mean, come on, Greeks, get it together. If you really like this show, get some of the English versions up, and then feel free to like dub them in Greek again if you want.
But. So I think it's an interesting find and an interesting watch.
Yes.
For something, I mean, like because Rankin Bass has made such great shows like Thundercats and Silverhawks, and this is the middle child, and this just, you know, if you like, here's the thing, if you like Thundercats and you like Silverhawks, you will probably be able to at least stomach or not have your eyeballs bleed by watching Tiger Sharks.
Exactly.
But it's just nuts, and I think. For those two characters alone, I think for Gup and for Dragonstein, it's worth watching.
Fair enough. Now, Joe, this was your suggestion this week, so how do you stand in the recommendation department?
I give it 5 out of 5 memories of, fond memories of a well-spent youth. I mean, this is a great show. I loved it, 30 years ago. I love it now.
I feel like Octavia is influencing your decision there a little bit. But
yes, that's true.
I mean, that's fine.
Don't Google Octavia Rule.
Definitely Google it. Now we all got our things.
Google
it's cool.
It. It's awful. Cool.
Now we got it.
Is it really?
It's exactly what you'd expect.
It's exactly what you'd expect. The tentacles kind of The tentacles kind of make themselves very, very obvious. There.
The thing is, I find it hard to believe that it's even more amateurishly drawn than the actual cartoon.
Yeah, on like lined 8x11 notebook paper with a 3-hole punch. Yeah,
this is definitely like somebody who was bored in detention.
This was just like found in a desk in like a 6th grade 1987 classroom or something. Yeah.
Oh my god, why did I pull this up?
While Sean is perusing that. I'm not going to recommend this, but I will kind of agree with Sean that if you were a fan of Thundercats and Silverhawks, this kind of completes the trifecta, the triptych, if you will, of the land, sea, and air movement from Rankin Bass.
You know, it never even struck me till right now that there was a land, sea, air thing going on.
And I can't take credit for that. I actually saw that in a comment on, I believe, the Greek video of this.
Genius.
Yeah, so well done, Greek commenter, or whoever you are, because that was smart. That's very much a Centurion's type move to do, so well done. But yeah, I will agree with Sean, not so much on Guppy, but definitely Dragonstein, and I fully subscribe to the Church of Dragonstein. Which hopefully that
Dragonstein
will be.
Dragonstein rules.
Dragonstein rules. He's at the center of the earth and Waltero. Yeah, so that's that for this week. If you could find it, seek it out. We're going to try to get some links up to it if we can, especially if you can buy this craziness somewhere, or at least the petition to.
I checked eBay. You can't. I mean,
they
released some VHS copies back in.
And no
like,
toys? Like, no toys out there for them?
Oh, no, there's plenty of toys. Oh, there's plenty of toys. All kinds of toys on eBay.
So what we're going to do, we're going to buy the toys. We're going to put together our own stop-motion presentation.
That's a great idea.
Underwater. Yeah, it's going to be good. So you can kickstart that. I will say this, though. The Tiger Sharks do appear in an episode of the rebooted Thundercats series. So the one that was rebooted a couple of years ago. They do actually pop up there, I think only for a little bit. I didn't watch this episode, but they're like they're one of the animals that are like under control of Mum-Ra or something like that. I might have that wrong.
Wow.
But they do pop up, so it's a nice nod back to the Rankin Bass days and to fans like Joe who watched this religiously. So yeah, check it out if that interests you. But on the premise that this is like an enjoyable, entertaining show, no, not for me. Not for me. Fucking nuts. Except for Dragonstein.
I just found an image of Octavia, Chitara, and whoever the female is in Silverhawks getting very comfortable together.
We got to do Silverhawks someday too, because that's one that I remember, but definitely did not. I don't recall a whole lot, like names or anything like that. So we got to do Silverhawks someday. Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Good stuff. All right. Well, anything else?
Delete my browser.
Delete your browser history.
Oh, what have I done?
By delete browser history, he means download and then upload to the cloud.
No, I just mean throw a Molotov cocktail at my computer.
That works too. Just be doubly sure. So anything else from Tiger Sharks for you guys before we move on to the plugs for this week?
The last thing I want to say is that there were people on this show that just had a weird color skin. My only justification for this is that Lorca has jaundice,
Yes.
And Dolph has permanent frostbite.
And I think Watero probably has some circulation issues. Due to his obesity. Yeah. There's some weird... And, like, weird-shaped faces, too. Like, they really did reverse-engineer everything from the animal backwards. So, like, even when they were making them into the human characters, they kind of still look like animal creatures. It's just a little strange. Yeah.
As a side note, did anybody notice that, like, even when they were swimming in the water, like, Walrow was like, I'm still going to take my cane with me.
Yep, I'm going to take my cane laser helicopter device.
Awesome.
His cane is a laser gun. Yeah, fucking helicopter propeller.
It shoots a drill torpedo thing.
Whatever you want, man. Whatever you want.
I want to change my statement on the show now. go ahead. Let's do plugs.
All right, let's do some plugs. Joe.
I'm going to stick with my previous
thing. I want to thank Joe, and I know Sean does too. I really want to thank Joe for not only filling in this week for Matt, who's off on his wedding and honeymoon, but also for bringing this delightful mess to our doorstep, because I feel like the show would have definitely been missing something if we did not cover Tiger Shark. So, Joe, thank you very much for joining us on the show. It's been a pleasure. I'm sure we will have you again in the future.
It's been a true delight. You guys are great.
Fantastic. Do you have anything that you want to plug coming up for the people? Anything out there for the listeners?
No, I'm a private citizen. I've got nothing.
Leave them alone, people. Sean, how about you? I know you got shows coming up later this fall, but anything coming up?
Yeah, I've got some shows coming up in October, November, and December, but nothing right now.
Excellent. Just taking a break.
As
far as me, no real plugs at the moment for anything coming up. However, I was just at Atlanta's Dragon Con this past weekend. I want to rename that to Dragonstein Con. We'll see if I can maybe cosplay as Dragonstein next year. I'm not big into the cosplay. I like, you know, seeing the people who are dressed up, but I just wore like a Scott Pilgrim shirt, and I even got irritated with the people that were like asking me to take pictures and stuff. I'm just like, I'm a guy in a t-shirt with wristbands. Like, it's nothing. I put no effort into this, but whatever. What the cool things I did get to do, I got to do an interview with Terry Gilliam, which was pretty sweet, for his new movie. It's out on VOD right now. It's called Zero Theorem. It's got Christoph Waltz, David Thewlis, a lot of really, really great actors that have small parts, major parts, a lot of good stuff. That's out now. It's also coming in limited release later in September. He talks about a lot of cool stuff, especially his time with working with the late Robin Williams, which was a nice little side story that I gave us there. That was pretty cool. Also, I got the opportunity to drop in on this surprise presentation from Dana Snyder. Now, you might not recognize his name. You would definitely recognize this guy's voice. He voices Master Shake from Aqua Teen Hunger Force.
Yeah, absolutely.
He also does Granny on Squidbillies and a number of other voices on a variety of different shows and networks. And when he speaks, he sounds exactly like Master Shake. So that's pretty damn funny. And he's not a stand-up comedian as far as I know, but he was hilarious. He had the entire panel just like laughing. And it wasn't super populated. There wasn't a lot of people there, but it was a lot of fun. He has a couple of podcasts, and I'm going to plug just because I had an entertaining time listening to him talk. One is the Ken P.D. Snidecast. Another one of my favorites, is called Drunk on Disney. That's when him and a couple of his buddies, much like this show, they get recipe cards for different alcoholic drinks at Disney attractions. And they share them with the listeners, and then they drink them while they're talking on the show. So you get just like an hour of them rambling drunkenly about Disney-related paraphernalia. So that was pretty interesting. We'll have some links up on the webpage, which is SaturdayMorningCartoons.com. And remember, that's morning with a U. So if you want to find us, email us, all that good stuff. Remember, morning with a U. You can find us on iTunes. Please do, and subscribe there. You'll get these episodes every week downloaded to you just from Apple iTunes. You can follow us on Twitter at Morning Tunes. Sean, where can the people find you on Twitter?
Find me on Twitter and Instagram at Sean Paul Ellis.
And Private Citizen Joe Gallo, if you would like to be found on Twitter, where could people do so?
At Crazy Joe Gallo.
There it is, folks. And if you want to bug me, you can find me at Dr. Claw MD. You can also check out our Tumblr page. I'll try to keep Sean's Octavia drawings off of there, but no promises.
I'm not posting anything.
He's going to post them. He's going to post them. And it's at...
Also, just as an aside, have you guys not been drinking when we do this podcast?
I usually don't. I might start after this show.
Oh, my God.
I think you might have to start.
After this show, I feel like I might, but...
This is becoming mandatory.
It really should be. But yeah, you can check out our Tumblr page at SaturdayMorningCartoons.tumblr.com. Next week, we will be joining you once again, and we'll have the regular crew back in here. Joe will be returning to his life of craziness and privacy. But it's going to be Baron's pick next week. Now, we did talk to Baron on the far-flung island of Hawaii. I believe that's where he is. Is that correct? I
don't know. Yes, that's correct.
All right, cool. Baron's pick for next week is going to be The Adventures of the Galaxy Rangers. I don't know a whole lot about this one, but their intro is really friggin' sweet, and I mean that in a very serious sense. So, yeah, looking forward to that one. And
I'm hoping this is another Brave Star.
I don't know if you mean that in a good way, or I don't know how you mean that, but we'll find out.
I
hope there's a very special episode of Galaxy.
Oh, my God, we got to find the drug episode.
If there is a drug episode, I'm so on board.
Well, you know what, Joe? It's too late. He's gone. All right, kids, until next time, this has been Saturday Morning Cartoons.
Travel the Sheeman to travel back in time.